Now, friends, we come to the 39th Psalm, and this is quite a remarkable psalm because it reveals to us the frailty and the weakness and the littleness of humanity. It reveals the vanity of human existence, as this psalm will set it before us. This is a psalm that has been used at funerals a great deal, and it can be used there properly so, and there have been those that have considered it probably the most beautiful of all elegies in the Psalter. And Dean Peroni says the holy singer had long pent up his feelings, and though busy thoughts were stirring within him, he would not give them utterance. He could not bear his bosom to the rude gaze of an unsympathizing world, and he feared lest, while telling his perplexities, some word might drop from his lips, which would give the wicked an occasion to speak evil against his God. And when at last unable to repress his strong emotion, he speaks to God and not to man. It is as one who feels how hopeless the problem of life is, except as seen in the light of God. And he talks of this frailty and sinfulness and weakness and littleness of mankind with deep conviction here. And very candidly, human life is without doubt the most colossal failure in God's universe. And apart from a relationship with God, friends, it's rather meaningless. All is vanity. That's what you have to say under the sun. Without the Son of God, it means nothing at all. Now, we notice something new in this psalm. It is a psalm of David, of course, but it's to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun. And who's Jeduthun? Well, it's apparently dedicated to him. Maybe he wrote the music for it. At least he was the one who played it. That is, he's one of the three musical directors, or choir directors, that there was in connection with Israel's worship. Asaph was another, and Heman. In other words, David had associated with himself. He was the sweet singer of Israel, and he had associated with him these men. Now, will you notice this psalm? It's a beautiful, lovely thing. He said, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." David said, "This is a subject I would rather not talk about with the man of the world." He couldn't quite understand it. And so David says, "I put a zipper on my mouth." And he says, "I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred." But he wanted to say something. And finally, he just opens his heart before God. And he says, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spoke I with my tongue." But who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the Lord. Listen to him. "Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." Frailty of man. He said, what's the purpose of life? What is it that gives meaning to life? That's probably the thing that this new generation, this young generation today, has come up with, and they've done it with a bang. They've asked the question, because after World War II, that generation, my generation, just wanted to settle down in peace and have a nice little bungalow and a car in the garage, two cars, and a chicken in the pot. We wanted to live in an affluent society and shut our eyes to everything, escape responsibility, and we got tied up in traffic snarls. We got under tension, and all that sort of thing, and the young generation came along, even in Christian homes, and they looked around and they said, is this what life is all about? That's what David is saying here. What is the meaning of life? My friend, Christians can live today in such a way that there's no meaning to life. And this is good for fathers and mothers today. Are you living your life as a Christian in a way that you're turning your child on to Jesus, or are you turning him off to everything? There's many a little hippie running up and down this country today that's got in a lot of trouble. And he came out of a good home. We say it's a good home, and to all outward appearances it is. But you see, the young person looked at that and said, there's no meaning in the way they're living. This is a tremendous psalm here. And he said, Lord, make me to know mine end. Give me purpose and meaning, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. That means stop, look, and listen. Think this over, friend. The brevity of human life down here ought to tell us something. Actually, if this life is all that there is, I'm very frank to say that human life is a colossal failure. I'd rather be a dinosaur. I'd rather be a redwood tree and hang around a little while. May I say to you that if this life is all, man's life is just a handbreadth, the psalmist says. Verse 6, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Thackeray, and he was a Christian, wrote a novel called Vanity Fair. I enjoyed that a great deal. What a brilliant satire it is. This little group of people, little clique, they had their status symbols, played their little part, committed their little sins that were awful, a stench in heaven, and they lived and died and had their littleness and their bickerings and all of that. And that's life, friends. May I say to you, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And just think of the Christians today that gather a fortune down here. And some don't gather maybe so much, but they leave it to be spent by godless children or offspring or relatives. And they get it. Or they give it to the wrong thing in Christian work. By the way, we see a great deal of that today. And the psalmist saw that. He said, what's the purpose of it all? Listen to him now, verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope's in thee. He's turned now to God. And friends, you don't turn to him, you're not going to find the meaning to life. I'll tell you that. Listen to him, verse 8, now deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I want to be a good example, David says. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. He said, I didn't want to express my thoughts to the crowd. They're rather pessimistic, are they not? He says, remove thy stroke away from me. I'm consumed by the blow of thine hand. And he was feeling the discipline of God in his life, and it was for a purpose. Oh, my friend, today, to get a proper perspective of life, the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Man today is going on a long journey. Eternity's out yonder. What glorious anticipation there should be. Now he closes, verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I'm a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. I'm just a pilgrim and stranger down here. My, we like to get in our little corner down here and fix it up and think it's going to be permanent. And we get our little blanket and We get our little false security down here. May I say to you, the best we are, we're a pilgrim and a stranger down here. And that's the way we ought to live this life, friend. Just a pilgrim and a stranger down in this world. And we're journeying. We seek a city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, to have a hope. And the psalmist says, my hope is in thee. And now listen to him here. Oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I depart and am no more. He says, enable me in my life down here to so live that I'm going to cause men and women to think of eternity, and that I'll not cause a generation to become hippies, and I'll not turn men off from God, but I'll draw them to God. We hear a great deal today about personal witnessing, but what about our lives? Are people turning to God because of the way we are living? Or are they turning away from God? And I'm confident they're doing one or the other. Maybe we better move on. This is a tremendous psalm, is it not?